live from Hollywood, it's Harrison.
It is 5 minutes past the hour. Harrison with you, your new best friend, in a state of extraordinary exhaustion. But welcome, welcome, and good luck. Is all I can say.
Maybe best of luck to you.
Can we start by killing the fluorescent light? There we go. Can we start by getting the microphone set, too? Because I am so hollow and low. Can you adjust my mic? Bring me way, way up, and the other one's down about 20%. There we go. Okay, now it sounds balanced. Thank you so much. Well, what a six-hour day it was yesterday, I got to tell you. Yeah. We did the live show from the Kings Road polling place and then came in and did another 5 hours. We did something cool on the Pacifica Radio Network and did live coverage. Thank you, Mercy Malik, by the way. Extraordinary, extraordinary hard work and research. Thank you so much.
It was my pleasure.
David Bender of Ring of Fire Radio was here. You know him during this time slot, 3 to 4 on Thursdays with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Mike Papantonio. He, for the last half decade, has been doing this every year with, or every, well, every time it happens, whenever this is recently, with Rachel Maddow. And it was extraordinary. We're going to be hearing from him in about a half hour, actually, because he has a breaking story on Iowa. And as you may or may not know by now, although the New York Times has decided to report on this, basically every single judge that made gay marriage legal in Iowa has all been blown out.
Yeah.
There was a proposition to do nothing, nothing, but remove those exact judges for only that thing. And it turns out that those judges had done exactly what the Constitution of Iowa asked them to do. Nothing extra. They didn't recycle something. They didn't put an extra pack of sugar in somebody's coffee. They weren't polite beyond any reasonable measure. No, they literally followed their state's constitution to the letter, and for that they were punished. This is endemic of a systemic... This is why I'm so pissed today.
Mm.
I'm really sorry. I wish California, in 5 minutes from now, would just secede from the rest of this country. We'll take our boxer. We'll take our Jerry Brown. We'll split. I'm so over this. But there is some silver lining in all of this.
Alan Grayson and Russ Feingold are moving to California?
Yes! Yes! We're building a special community housing center for them.
That sounds great.
Oh, my God. You know, that's not a bad idea.
I've already drafted an email to Alan Grayson's campaign saying, please, we will appreciate you here. Move to California.
Absolutely, you know, absolutely. My God. And Florida, where I lived for so many years, is now endlessly more tyrannical. It was the last state outside of Alabama whose electric chair was called Yella Mama.
Wow.
Y-E-L-L-A-H, Yella Mama. And then the one in Florida called Old Sparky, right? I mean, and now it's just Tea Party Central. It's completely nuts. And this was a place, when I lived there, when they decided, much as Arizona does, where you can just walk around with a double-barrel shotgun slung over your shoulder and walk in and get, your pudendum massaged. But now, you know, this is just like normal everywhere now. And today, Obama, during his speech, and we're going to hear a little bit from that, you know, is talking about what a first-world place we are and how we're coveted by the rest. You both, golly shucks. I mean, really? Have you been to Europe? I know he has.
Yes.
I know he's been to Europe lately.
He's going to Asia.
Yeah, I know he's left, so I know somebody had a gun to his head to say that. I mean, really, it's as if every of the 30,000 lobbyists, 30,000, that's the population of West Hollywood. It's as if every resident, without that style, we're a lobbyist.
It's like they'd like us to believe.
It's like, yeah, no kidding. And you should see the lobby in the motel there.
Paging Jeff Gannon. Sorry.
It's okay. My train of thought. Listen, derail it, please.
No,
derail
that
it.
Was me.
I don't even want to be on this Tea Party Express here. You know.
Penny on the track.
Hold on. Let me put some rocks on there.
Yeah.
Here's a brick. Oh, boy. I also want to open up the phones today because so many of us have sat for the last number of days with just an outgoing drum of punditry, me included, right? I mean, me as a perpetrator included. And it's time for you to decompress. It's time for you to vent. It's time for you to react positively in many ways. I mean, we busted our ass right? And we retained Barbara Boxer. The varying polling place, which you'll remember 1 week ago from today, 1 week ago today, I went there live to get an interview with Barbara Boxer. That same polling station yesterday ended up getting closed down, an extremely blue polling station, because somebody had shoved a receipt, sort of a cardboardy type receipt, back into the polling machine, closing down the station. So a lot of stuff has gone on. We're going to be hearing from Brad Friedman about various kinds of voting shenanigans. If you witnessed any, and I got tons of emails from you reporting on this and that, we'll explore some of those too. If you saw some of that too, I want to hear about it. Also, I want to apologize publicly for something. I published on our website, GoHarrison.com, a one-step voting guide, and our website was hacked. And I was getting so many angry emails yesterday. Why did I vote no on Prop 19? Why did I recommend these right-wing homophobic judges? And I kept writing back, I'm not recommending that at all. Why? No, that's silly. You're cuckoo. Right? I go to the website last night when I get home at 2:30, quarter to 3 in the morning, because as you know, we were here until well after midnight. I get home and I look at my website, and I noticed that the no's were in red, the yeses were in blue. I saw what had been a yes as a no in blue, and you know, for Prop 9, so various different propositions had been changed and hacked on my website.
What? This is partially my fault, because during our dinner break, I went on the website and I saw that, and it was the first time that I had looked, and I was like, wow, Harris and I actually differ on a few items.
Just a few? Only 75% of them.
Well, the judges, you had specifically directed people to go to the page to look at judges, and it just said, judges, all yes. And I was like, really? Ming also?
Well,
really?
That was the one that the people were writing about.
Yeah.
Why Ming? Please explain. I said, no, the only Ming I liked was in Buck Rogers. This is not the same one.
Well, not knowing
what was on the website.
My bad for not drawing that to your attention. I noticed it at about 6 o'clock. I mean, I don't know if it would have done any good.
Well, we were already into hour 7 of exhaustion.
We had other things on our mind.
Please feel warmly, warmly invited in the future. Just agitate that. If you see stuff, thank you, honey. But, my God, so horrified when I was looking at this thing. So at 3 in the morning, I fixed it just because I don't know. But I mean, so we were hacked, too. Two, because we were officially putting out for an entire week long that we would have all these materials, the Courage campaign. We had heard from Rick Jacobs just a day earlier. We had published all this stuff, made it really easily available to everybody. And, you know, any 9-year-old worth his salt can hack a website. And so we were victim to this, too. And I was perpetuating wrong information unwittingly, but I just want to let you know, no matter how hard any of us work, we cannot buttress everything. So I just want to apologize. If anybody voted in a poo-poo potty kind of way, you know, yell at me, because I didn't know that we had been hacked.
And yell at me, because I didn't catch it in time.
Well, don't yell at Marcy.
It's okay.
Honey, you're
I got
sweet.
Thick skin.
You're so wonderful.
I got a broad back.
You can yell at me.
We can yell at Brad Friedman. It's your job to be policing this, sir.
And I'm sorry I'm late here, but I do have to make a public apology.
Oh.
Let me guess. You were on the 101 like I was?
No, I hacked your website.
You hate marijuana, don't you?
Well, I thought it would be funny. I was, you know, trying to make a point, but now that I see...
You made it.
Yeah. It was wrong.
Oh, jeez. Let's do this. Let's open it up. Let's let you decompress. Let's hear what your experiences were and your just general reaction to this seemingly major charade. I mean, it is Lewis Carroll's Unfortunate Alice in Wonderland. We are looking through the looking glass. We're up is down, black is white, green is yellow, where lower taxes means a richer government, where cutting services means better services. The police will do better with no budget whatsoever and take away their squad cars, and that will actually mean newer and shinier squad cars. It's absolutely inverted, although our state of California has somehow retained a bit of its luster. Our numbers here, your Harrison hotlines, are 310-737 310-737-TALK, 310-737-TALK. That's 310-737-TALK. And Brad Friedman, let's get the quick upload while the lines are loading up. And GF, thank you so much. I know you're exhausted. I know your allergies are killing you. Yesterday, it was at least 2.5 gallons of snot and mucus in there. But you look so much better now that you've washed your face off, sir. I have to tell you, the green glow is gone. Did everyone throw up? I think they just did.
I did, yeah.
You know, I'm all dry from yesterday. Sorry.
And you know, and I've got some various bits and pieces of news for you, but as long as you're taking calls. I know that here, I want to be a little bit of a contrarian perhaps here.
What? Me? You did apologize for hacking my website.
I did,
so I am sorry.
We're all right on that. Okay. But, you know, beyond that, one of the questions that obviously has been coming up in the last, 12 hours since yesterday's election results. You know, you got a lot of progressives out there who are saying, well, see, this proves that Obama and the Democrats, because they went so far right, because they tried to compromise, because they gave away so much in all, you know, all of the legislation that they passed. This proves, oh, and by the way, what was it, to 28 or 30 blue dog Democrats were kicked out of Congress yesterday. As long as you're looking for silver linings, and just a few progressives, about four progressives lost. And,
only the important ones.
Well, I was going to say, of course, there are a lot of key ones, certainly Grayson and Feingold and so forth. But a lot of progressives have been saying, well, this shows that, you know, now that we have more progressives as part of the caucus, a larger percentage of the caucus, smaller caucus, mind you, but a larger percentage
of progressives.
Yeah, there you go. it's time for the Democrats to stop all this compromise and to fight for the progressive values that they believe in. Now, I think, I personally think that's the way to go. I think I've been arguing that we all have here for months and if not years. But, you know, after the 2008 election, that's kind of what the right-wingers argued, isn't it? They said, well, this just shows you that we gave up our values. We didn't fight for conservative values. Never mind that their values have nothing to do with conservatism, as you mentioned, concerning the Iowa story. But we'll talk about that in a bit, I suppose.
Right.
But, you know, so the question, and look what they, and what they ended up with was throwing out a lot of their moderates, a lot of the moderate Republicans, and winding up with these far-right, fringe, crazy people. Now, that happened after 2008. Do the Democrats, do the progressives run a similar fear? Is there a similar possibility that if they tack to the left, if you will, that they too will end up too far to the left, too far out of the American mainstream?
Well, at this point, you know, with Citizens United and all these other larger issues that make this thing seem so impotent and ridiculous, that in any other country in the world, if you said, all right, I'm going to go in and I am going to hand my elected official $10 million, and then my company is going to secretly give it to Mildred. Mm-hmm. Mildred's going to give it to her hairdresser. Her hairdresser's then going to give it to the postman, who's going to then hand it off to this. They would call that bribery, corruption, the police. Here we call it democracy.
Right.
And you know what? It's crap.
Yeah.
And anybody who wants a better thing, you better go get it. We better take a lesson from the Tea Party. I'm not saying be the Tea Party, but guess what? They showed up the way the French have shown up by the million. The million, plural, zzz, right?
In French, it's million.
Thank you very much. For the milieu.
That's right.
Exactly. Let's take a listen to Representative Michelle Bachmann. She is now poised to create something called the... well, it's some kind of Republican, it's not even a caucus. It's a special new thing. Well, there'll be four super players yet. And they're just starting to build this thing. And she is going to tell us in all of 55 seconds what the brand new plot of the play is according to this Congress. And if it doesn't just reek of Chevron and everything else, and it's perfect, would you, if you had a small city, and maybe this is the question of the day, and this were the laws, this would be the laws in the books for the small city that you lived in, and she's going to tell you what the laws are now for your new city or your country that you live in and you can't just leave. This is Representative Michelle Bachmann of Minnesota, a big old Tea Partier, and here's the new plot of the play.
They want to see action. I think the first thing people want to see from the Republican conference is a strong effort to make sure that the taxes don't go up 1 second after midnight on January 1st. So we need to send a strong signal that we will extend the Bush tax cuts. Number two, people want to know for sure that we're serious about repealing Obamacare. We need to send that signal as well, and not only send a signal, actually pass it through the House that we are having a full-scale repeal of Obamacare. Number three, people want to make sure that we're not going to allow the EPA to impose cap and trade. In other words, a high new national energy tax on all Americans.
Dismantle
the
environment.
So we need to make sure that the EPA doesn't go through with that. And finally, we need to make sure that we secure America's borders. I think we need to lay the groundwork for bringing certainty back into the equation, and we also need to show firmness in working with the president and with Harry Reid.
There you have it. 1, 2, 3, 4. And by the way, what is the cost of deporting 11 million people? Where is the money coming from? Extending the Bush tax cuts and others adds $3 trillion to the debt over time. What are you going to actually cut? And stuff will have to be cut. It's already being cut. I mean, this is the part where the disconnect is so huge. This is the city that she's telling you you now live in, or the country, and this is what it's going to look like. I wouldn't know how to drive my car down those streets. It's not just the potholes and the street lamps that aren't lit and the no police and no fire department and no clean water and no flushing toilets while I'm being told simultaneously by Obama, and let's listen to this, what a first world joint I live in. This would be track number... Never mind. We'll play that later. I mean, really, I'm just so pissed I can't even tell you. This is a call to action if there ever was one, all right? If there ever was. Screw compromise. Are you kidding? It's like, well, you know, I think we should compromise with the Nazis. Because if we're really, really, really polite, maybe they won't come and take the trade unionists today. Maybe they won't because they'll know I'm a nice person. And even though they're not, they're going to respect and admire me. And they're going to do the right thing because of their conscience. Guess what? You have just seen the answer to this. You have just seen exactly... I know I'm standing up. I should be sitting down.
I
had to watch this for 6 hours last night. It just is driving me nuts. Sitting around and praying to the Lord Jesus to come and mend this is not going to... Or Buddha, I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Or Aqua Buddha.
Aqua Booty. It just won't happen that way.
Booty.
If you want your hand
That's
shaken,
a whole different thing, isn't
you
it?
Must stick it out so somebody can shake it. Sitting around meditating for the homeless people to get food will not feed them. God has never faxed a resume for me yet. This magical, excuse me, I'm not saying there's no God, I'm just saying magical thinking. Making nice with people who would kill you or let you die if you get sick is not going to cure your cancer. Wake up! And I know you are. You listening, I know you are. But I got so many emails from so many lunatics saying, right. See? Your recommendations, I voted on the exact opposite of them. You Marxist! Well, actually, I'm glad that some of them did because they would have voted the right way since my website was hacked.
They at least voted on a few items.
So I take back my apology. I'm glad I hacked it that way.
Good job, Brad.
Yeah, thank you.
But there is one thing that is not a hack. There is one thing that is so wonderful, so extraordinary, so true, and so perfect, and that would be Traffic with Jeff Thomas.
Harrison. Completely unsponsored, common sense commuter traffic.
It is 23 minutes past the hour. This is Jeff Thomas with your live and local traffic report on KPFK. And, bull golly shucks, wouldn't you know, I don't have any traffic. Thank you very much.
Well, I have a traffic.
Well, I do. I was stuck in it on the way over here. Are you kidding me?
I'm in a couple incidents.
Listen, there are shredded truck tires on the 101 around Barham.
101 North. Yes,
101 North.
Is that what it was?
Yes, there are barricades up near the Hollywood Bowl on Highland.
Highland
that have squeezed it down to one lane.
Yes.
You will wait on... Franklin for about 20 minutes to try to turn the
exactly
corner.
And by the way, the westbound Hollywood Boulevard, we don't need an internet.
I know.
We don't need
westbound
Hollywood
guy
Boulevard,
is this, yeah.
One lane is shut down. So if you want an east-west street, I would not advise Hollywood Boulevard through Hollywood.
You know, it's a good thing Jeff doesn't do weather. Otherwise, he
I would advise everybody.
I don't know if it's hot outside
or not. Go outside and look.
There's no way to figure
91.
It out.
91. My chihuahua broke into a sweat, and they don't have sweat glands.
It was hot. It is hot. Can I just do the weather?
Yes, I'm ready for that. It's hot.
Well, there's a couple things. Yeah, the 101 doesn't look so good northbound. That's probably due to a stalled vehicle in the number one lane. That's at Vineland. The 405 coming through the Sepulveda Pass again, the northbound side, is also pretty slow. All kinds of stuff coming out of...
Oh, no, not stuff.
All kinds of stuff.
Really? Stay home.
Wherever you live.
In the air condition where it's much cooler.
That's right.
Apparently.
That is correct.
Are you done?
You know, I could go on. I got lots of stuff to report here.
All kinds of it, I hear.
Well, you know, when you open up the phones... This one-man operation can only do so much.
You better, they're all blinking. So we'll let you go, Jeff, and we'll get another one of these really high-end, non-hack traffic reports soon. It is 25 minutes past the hour. Harris with you. You're listening to Go Harrison on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, 99.5 in Central California, 93.7 FM in San Diego. Hang on, more to come.
Stay nestled in your chair, listening to Harrison, till your heart vomits like an oyster.
By Jove.
This is Harrison.
It is 28 minutes past the hour. Harrison with you, your new best friend. Happy Wednesday. Parts of it are.
Parts of it are happy.
Yeah. We did good. Your hard work and your suiting up and showing up for your own life and the life of others whom you don't know. There's a fair shake of survivability here. And sustainability. Right. Yep. Prop 23 turned out the correct way. Prop 26, I think we're still not sure about that.
You know what? I'm not sure about 26.
26 is the one that would have allowed us to, say, pay a one-time $18 registration fee.
No, that's a different one. 26.
That's 25.
Is the twin of 23.
It's the tax versus fee. Right. We're not sure about that. But that also includes that. In which case, we're going to find out more. And
I'm
going to
hop on it right
we'll
now.
Have some updates on that.
Prop 19 did, however, go up in smoke.
Up in smoke. And that was supposed to be the critical component to bring young people in to vote, because everybody knows when they're over 90 that all young people do is smoke pot.
Now, it should have brought in not just the young people, but it should have brought in the real conservatives. And you were talking about, as I was stuck in Jeff's traffic on the way over here, you were talking about the Iowa decision where they threw out all of these judges who had ruled in favor of same-sex marriage up there in Iowa. This is, we have got to start understanding this, that the framing for the way politics is discussed in this country, those judges who were thrown out were not thrown out by conservatives who didn't like their decision. They were thrown out by right-wingers. Because the fact of the matter is, the decision that those judges made, as you pointed out, was a constitutional decision. It was the conservative decision.
Correct.
The conservative decision, and this happened out here in California as well, when they looked at that constitution, and they said, well, no, I don't see anything in this constitution that allows us to bar people from getting married. That is the conservative decision. And it drives me absolutely up a wall when we refer to right-wingers as conservatives. They are not conservatives. They are right-wingers. They are corporatists. They are teabaggers. But they are not conservatives.
Some are teabaggers. Well, I have never been teabagged by one of them
entirely. But,
well, you're young yet.
But, you know, this stuff matters, because we let those guys get away with calling progressives, liberals this, liberals that. We get that, we allow them, and Harrison, you actually did this too. You referred to the polling place at Plummer Park, was it yesterday?
Yeah.
As one of the bluest of polling
places.
That's
their self-declared descriptor.
That's right. Karl Rove wants you to call it a blue polling place. He wants there to be a blue America and a red America. He wants right and left, conservative versus liberal. These are phony, false paradigms that are killing this country, and progressives have got to stop falling into their, and I'm not taking this out on you, I'm talking about...
Yes, you are.
Well, no, I'm in general.
You hacked my website.
I was sorry, but I hear this on MSNBC. They talk about, you know, the conservatives are calling for this and that. Those people are not conservatives. A conservative doesn't say, let's give these tax cuts back to the rich and put another $1 trillion chunk into the deficit. If a conservative is a fiscal conservative, he says, absolutely not. We don't do that. So we've got to stop giving them the reward of calling them conservatives, because that ain't what they are.
Yeah, I want to say that we definitely did not reward Karl Rove yesterday, by the way, because his top two targets were Harry Reid and Barbara Boxer. So we see how well that went.
Yeah.
There are some things to celebrate and be excited about. I mean, for many people, that's all they cared about was kicking those two out of office, and they're still standing.
Right, and nomenclature notwithstanding, it is what people stand for and what they want to do. And Michelle Bachmann, whatever she calls herself, whatever, I don't know if it's Irish breakfast tea, English, but if it's chamomile.
She's crazy. She's crazy.
Thank you. She is crazy. But important to know, nomenclature aside, it's who are these people, and it's the Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs time here. And I think it's time to get an update with some news with Mercy Malik.
Go Harrison. News update.
Harrison, news time is 32 minutes past the hour, and I'm Mercy Malik with your reality check. For months, U.S. and Afghan officials have been promoting a plan to persuade masses of rank-and-file Taliban fighters to change sides. But the Taliban have reintegration plans of their own. On Monday, in an area southwest of the capital, the entire police force defected to the Taliban side. A spokesman for the Taliban said their fighters made contact with the police force, cut a deal, and then sacked and burned the station. As many as 19 officers vanished, together with their guns, trucks, uniforms, and food. A Taliban spokesman said the police and the insurgents had already melted away into the countryside, commenting, quote, "The Taliban exists in and around the district centers, and we have our own judges, courts, district governors, and other officials," end quote. In the decades of war in Afghanistan, armed groups have often changed sides to join the one they believe is winning. Often, after a time, they switch back. It's 33 minutes past the hour. George Bush has defended his decisions during his 8 years in office, including the war he waged on Iraq that has so far killed over 1 million Iraqis. In a memoir titled Decision Points, due to be released next week, Bush claims the AI...
Released, right? Ugh. Like, we're holding it back. It wants to get out.
Yeah.
We're not going to... Okay, we're going to release
wait
it.
Wait for it. Bush claimed the invasion of Iraq was justified and that Iraqi citizens were better off without, quote, homicidal dictator Saddam Hussein, end quote. Bush also defended his decision to allow torture, asserting it helped save lives. Bush claimed he was, quote, shocked when no weapons of mass destruction were found in Iraq, adding, quote, "I had a sickening feeling every time I thought about it. I still do," end quote.
That's also my review for his book, by the way.
Bush also revealed he considered replacing Vice President Dick Cheney in 2003 because he wanted to put an end to the impression Cheney was the real decision maker. Quote, "I did consider the offer," Bush said, adding Cheney was, quote, "seen as the Darth Vader of the administration."
Well, how odd. I wonder where that came from.
Yeah, he was going to replace him, but
he got afraid. He got intimidated.
Decided he shouldn't.
He got overwhelmed by the dark side.
Dick told him not to.
And here's your suspicious polling places report from yesterday's election. The Washington Post reports that Kansas voters have received calls instructing them to vote on Wednesday, and Los Angeles voters received Spanish language robocalls advising them to vote Wednesday as well. Democrats in Delaware are accusing Republicans of voter intimidation, and a business owner in Colorado erected a large sign reading, quote, "Democrats vote on Wednesday." The Connecticut Mirror reports that numerous polling places in the staunchly liberal Bridgeport area ran out of ballots. Was that okay to say liberal, Brad? Is that okay? That's how they identified themselves.
The gays. They're not homosexual.
News report at the top of the hour.
How about
the homosexuals? Democratic-leaning Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Well, this said literally staunchly liberal, but perhaps they want us to believe so. Yeah. In any event, the Bridgeport area ran out of ballots. splits, with many voters leaving before having an opportunity to cast their vote. Democratic State Representative Christopher Caruso said that at the polling place where he voted, quote, "We counted 47 voters that were turned away and just left. This is unbelievable and a travesty," end quote.
Yep. And the official story was they under-ordered.
Silly.
I'd like to know.
Working
on it.
And in Maryland, Democratic voters reportedly... Oh, you're going to like this.
We'll see.
Democratic voters in Maryland reportedly received recorded telephone messages encouraging them to stay home because Democratic Governor Martin O'Malley had already achieved re-election. Not quite sure how that happened. Messages received included, quote, "Relax. Everything is fine. The only thing left is to watch on TV tonight," end quote.
Oh.
That was my dramatization, but I imagine it was something.
It had to be close. It had to be very close.
For Go Harrison on KPFK 90.7, I'm Mercy Malik. You can be my friend on Facebook and send me news tips for your reality check.
News update. Harrison.
It is 37 minutes past the hour. Harrison with you, your new best friend. You're listening to Go Harrison on KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, 99.5 in Central California, 93.7 FM in San Diego. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to hear from David Bender, who really busted his fanny last night
in a
Herculean football move, taking yard after yard of information and translating it into incredibly understandable data for six straight hours. This guy is truly a superhero. Joined right now by Brad Friedman, of course, bradblog.com. And Brad was part of the conversation nationally on the Pacifica Network last night as we did live election coverage and was able to bring forth a lot of interesting information and offered so much. Mercy Malik was there. Thank you, everybody. And let's jump to the phones here. We've got all kinds of people blinking here. Say hi to Crystal in Montclair. You're on with Harrison. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
Hello. Hi. First of all, let me thank all of you for staying up late and doing a very good job in bringing us the reports of the election. Second of all, I want to say that, first of all, no compromise. The first thing that Marco Rubio said shortly after his inauguration or his acceptance speech, whatever, his crowning was...
Did you say crowning?
Yeah, this is not the time to compromise.
Just let that go, Harris.
Okay, well, there's teabagging, crowning.
Let that go.
Every single one of them have said the same thing. Mitch McConnell said just a week ago, our only priority is to make sure Obama's not a one-term president. They have signaled over and over again that they will not compromise. So I was quite sick when I saw President Obama come out to the press conference today, and instead of taking an offensive position, showing that he did understand that there would be changes made, but absolutely not bowing down, because they went after him. And frankly, I really don't think he should have bowed down. He should have said, you know, the election last night may have spoken for about half of the people. I'm going to represent all of the people. So I really would take an offensive stand. And I want to ask both of you a question, or anybody who has the answer. We know that the Republic crooks have taken the House. They're going to push through some pretty heinous, horrible legislation. They're after the tax cuts, end of the estate tax. They're out for the rich. They're not representing anybody. They're not out there to govern. Will the Democrats be able to filibuster? And if so, how so? I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Crystal. Boy, I wish we could declaratively say, why, yes, the Democrats will filibuster. But unfortunately, as we know, all you have to do is threaten to filibuster, and you don't even have to do that now. Will the Democrats suddenly grow the spine that people have been wanting? Well, what is a Democrat? That's probably the best question really to ask initially. What exactly is a Democrat today?
What she asked, will Democrats be able to filibuster? And we should make damn clear here, yes, they are absolutely able to filibuster any damn thing they want. They are absolutely able to force Republicans to come up with 60 votes for anything that they would like to pass.
Will they do it?
Let's make that clear.
Will they do it?
Well, how, you know,
and why would they change the way they've been doing it for so long and suddenly, poof, become new humans? Obama today, right in front of the world, stood there and said, you know, you had a chance to kick the tires, you lifted the hood, you looked at me, you saw what you were getting, and here it is, why are you so upset? Well, because the candidate under whose hood we looked and we checked the oil and we liked it and all the cylinders were there and it had fresh new spark plugs, when that particular piece of automotive structure, using his automobile metaphor, ended up in the White House, it turned into a Woody. I mean, you know, with the wood paneling.
Yeah, no, I understand. I understand. I'm still thinking about your crowning reference earlier. But, you know, the people who are paying attention, you know, one of the things that's been frustrating is that a lot of people have, yes, they are understandably frustrated at Obama for giving up so much, for negotiating with himself. You know, for going in and not saying, okay, I want single payer, and therefore we will compromise with a public option. Instead, they went in with a public option, and they compromised on, what, giving away the entire ship to the corporate insurance
29 million new customers.
Right.
Congratulations.
But the fact of the matter is, for anybody who was paying attention, this guy was not particularly progressive before he came into the White House. You know, I think, and this has been a bit of a frustration for me. Everybody, you know, likes him. He's certainly an interesting guy, a smart guy. He ran a hell of a good campaign, but it was not a particularly progressive one. So when people say, oh, he's disappointed us, he's let us down, he's, you know, it's kind of what he promised he was going to do before he got in there.
Well, I have to part company because if I recall during his campaigns, he did say single payer. He did talk about universal health care. He did talk about ending the war. Absolutely, immediately.
He did not say single payer.
He may not have used the word, but he used
Health care for all.
But he meant exactly that. He didn't mean in code. What I really mean is corporate health care.
Did he mean it that way?
Harrison? No, because I remember at the various town halls, he was specifically standing there and people were asking him questions. Mm-hmm. Regular citizens, I want to be able to put my money into a pool like they have in, say, Canada or somewhere else where we can all have health care cheaply, affordably, reliably. And that's what he was talking about.
Well, all having health care cheaply, affordably, and reliably is different than single payer. Different deal.
Well,
remember,
I get that, but remember, Kucinich was talking in terms of single payer. Obama was in agreement with that in the beginning, and then Obama said, well, it doesn't look like it's going to be so doable
Got to Obama's left and said to Obama, your plan will leave people uninsured. Her health care, and I'm not a supporter of Hillary, but I'm just pointing out what happened here. Her health care, that's right, was more progressive, covered more people, and this was a big point of contention between the two of them when they were the last two standing. You can also go back and you can take a look at Obama letting the telephone companies, the communications companies, off the hook. Remember this? For spying?
Right.
He voted to give them immunity.
Yeah, but
He promised to expand the war in Afghanistan. This is the candidate.
No, I disagree. He did not promise to do that as a candidate.
Yes.
You know what? We'll get the audio so we could both hear it.
Okay.
Yeah. And I know that you remember him saying that he was going to expand the war.
Yeah.
I don't remember him saying he was going to expand the war. I remember him saying he was going to contract the war. But
not the war in Afghanistan. All along, he was saying, you know, we made a mistake by going into Iraq. We should have been in Afghanistan.
He talked about the front belonged in Afghanistan, but I don't believe he said his thing was to expand the war.
I think
it was
heard
that the front needed to be moved and focused on Afghanistan and reduced in Iraq.
I think you heard what you wanted to hear, and I think you're not alone. And I think a lot of people out there.
Maybe I'm having a fantasy, but I know that the listeners will so send more emails than you and I will ever have.
Straighten this out. Who's got it right? Brad with the
absolutely.
Position
but let's not. Let's. We probably don't need to arm wrestle over this one particularly right now because
I think
we have because we have David Penrod. Unless you can tell David.
Right.
David,
he'll decide.
Hey,
he can tell us. Hey, Bender, can you settle this for us?
Let me settle this.
Thank you.
It turns out that Brad is right.
What?
That is,
all right.
That in point of fact, I hate to do this on Harrison's
show. It's okay.
But Brad is right. The president said during the campaign that if more troops were required to prosecute the war in Afghanistan, he would send them because they had been sent to Iraq where they did not belong. He did say that. Brad is wrong. However, just for balance.
That's all the time we have, David. Thank you for your
about the language that we're using. And, Brad, you're wrong in this regard.
Okay.
Because when we get into this liberal-conservative debate, you're absolutely right. Karl Rove and company have been trying to frame all of these debates to their great benefit and have succeeded largely. A great example is Obamacare. Mm-hmm. Obamacare is a term that only started to exist on Fox News about, 6 months ago. Now it is on everyone's lips, including our own. And the mistake we've made is not saying that this is the rhetoric that is destructive, and Karl Rove and Fox are using this, is not to embrace the term Obamacare. Yes, we have Obamacare. We have health care for Americans because this president acted. This is the same thing that happened with the word liberal. I heard, Brad, you used the word progressive earlier on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're now calling ourselves progressives because we gave them the word liberal. Where is that moment that John Kennedy used when he defined what liberal was and said, if you're calling this liberal, a belief in the Constitution, a belief in the rights of others, I am proud to be called a liberal. That's where we take back the language. That's where Harrison is right.
Well, actually, let me just respond then, because Teddy Roosevelt, a Republican, was a progressive. Richard Nixon actually put in place a lot of progressive ideals, the EPA
and so forth. And OSHA. Imagine if he went in front of Congress today, they'd march him out, frog march him out.
But that's right.
They'd impeach him.
That's right. But to say that liberal is the same thing as progressive, I'm going to disagree with you there, David Bender. It just isn't, and you know, to call and to say the conservatives, these guys who are doing what they are doing. Look, you can have conservative progressives; those are not two opposite ideas, and that's my point. And we're giving them a gift when we call them conservatives because they ain't.
Here's where I think we can all agree: the nomenclature, and Harrison, bless you for the word. The nomenclature is not what's key here.
It's sesquipedalian.
It is how we frame this in a way that we can get our message out and say what we stand for. The president today did not say what he stands for. That continued to be the problem coming out of this White House. And sad to say, and I have been a fan of this president, I believe he is one of the smartest men. I've interviewed him. I've had the privilege of seeing close up. I have opened the hood. I have kicked the tires. And, the problem is this car isn't going anywhere. And until such time as this president tells us what he is standing for and what he is not going to stand for going forward, people will no longer go along for the ride. And that is unfortunately where I think we are today. And I had hoped for a lot more. Harrison, you and I talked about this last night, that I was hoping for the president to stand tall and strong and throw down the gauntlet today. That did not happen. In fact, quite the reverse. If I may, very briefly, I want to update. We still have new election results here in California.
Yeah.
Last night's coverage brought a result that we thought, Mercy Malik, that when we were bringing it to our listeners, was accurate.
About to address that.
Steve Cooley, the Los Angeles District Attorney, had claimed victory for Attorney General in California. Now, with all precincts reporting, I think it's 99.9, Kamala Harris,
yes,
yep,
pleased to be able to report, has been declared the victor by something approximately. There will be a recount, to be sure.
Yes.
Right.
She has a lead of about 22,000 votes right now statewide. It would be, if she wins, a complete Democratic sweep from top to bottom.
Yeah.
In the state of California.
9 out of 9. David Bender, could I ask, you say she was declared the victor. Who declared her the victor?
Well, she's been projected. Declared is probably too strong a word. And again, we're back to nomenclature. But she has been projected to have a lead that,
yeah,
will stand up pending a recount, which is likely to be called for.
Yeah, and I hope...
When all votes are counted, I think the projection is that she will have... It'll get a little smaller, but that the lead will be about 5,000 votes. That's what I've heard.
Is it secession time for California?
So long as Arnold is not in charge, absolutely.
And let me just go on the record here. As insipid, frankly, as I believe this Steve Cooley character to be, and as terrific, actually, as I believe this Kamala Harris to be, a race this close, a statewide race this close, I have called, I twittered earlier today, for Steve Cooley
to not concede and to demand that every vote in California actually be counted by human beings, at least those ballots that can be counted by human beings. We still use a lot of unverifiable touchscreens across the country, across the state, even with Deborah Bowen here. So, but I don't think it's too much to ask, again, as much as I really don't like Cooley, that we count the damn ballots before determining that anybody has won or lost anything.
Well, Brad Friedman, I laud you for that, and you made that same point about Norm Coleman when we spoke last night, and you're right. If the process is to work, it's got to be transparent for everyone, no matter who's up or who's down. The problem is, of course, and we saw this with the Karl Roves of the world, is they use that process to their own advantage.
Yeah.
And when we've seen the process of recounts used for intimidation, which we saw in Florida, this is what causes me to be a little skeptical sometimes when we go into this process, knowing the tactics that Republicans will use in the name of transparency.
It is 52 minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. You're listening to Go Harrison on KPFK, 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, 99.5 in Central California, 93.7 FM in San Diego, joined by David Bender on the phone. David was in here pulling a six-hour marathon for the Pacifica Radio Network last night. David is, of course, co-host of Ring of Fire Radio, heard right here on KPFK Thursdays from 3 to 4. Also joined in studio by Brad Friedman, who is notoriously brilliant in excavating and bringing forth really interesting data that's critical to our electorate, to our democracy, and to our capability to execute democracy as we understand it today. Bradblog.com. When in doubt, check it out, because there are always breaking stories on there. Mercy Malik, news director, is sitting with us. She also was doing tons of heavy lifting last night. And I understand that you're going to have
I have updates on
proposition updates. Let's hear those quickly, and then we'll go to traffic with Jeff Thomas.
Great. Well, first of all, Kamala Harris is right now, the tally has her at just less than 15,000 votes more than Steve Cooley, giving her a percentage share of the electorate at 45.9%, Steve Cooley at 45.7%. So really exciting Democratic sweep, possibly, in California. The scene on the proposition is not so rosy. Pretty much only two of the propositions that really would have been, that decisions would have been good for the state, panned out the way that we had hoped they might. No on 19, that was the legalized marijuana ballot item. Yes on 20, which is really creepy. This was a ballot measure that was funded almost exclusively by one really, really wealthy guy who openly said that he, quote, wanted to limit Democrats in government. And it will assign a commission of citizens to redistrict the next time we set our congressional districts. Yeah. No one knows who's going to appoint them. We don't elect them. We don't even know who they are. And this passed. That's really, really unsettling.
So we get to look like Texas.
We'll
just have to hack some chunks out of the state.
Yeah, there's a good chance that that's going to happen. There was kind of a sister measure to that 27 that would have prevented that from happening and done away with the Citizens Redistricting Commission that we currently have that costs the state $1 billion a year. And we're keeping that too. So when our are they going to do arm wrestle to figure out who's going to sideline the districts? It's a really muddy situation. The same situation exists with Prop 23 and Prop 26. People really got that Prop 23 was something that was bad for the environment. They voted no. That's great. But Prop 26, kind of the same situation, and people voted yes. That's the one where you have
to... That's not good.
Not good at all. Basically, right now, you need a simple majority to fine people for polluting. Now,
or to issue a fee to cover the cleanup.
Precisely.
Right, but the polluter pays.
Exactly. Right. 26 says now you need a two-thirds majority in order to do that.
Because you're now calling it a tax.
Right.
And therefore, it won't pass.
Right. And we all heard the ads here in Southern California saying, those sneaky politicians, they call something a fee, and it's really a tax. Actually, it's a tax on the corporation that's making your water be full of arsenic. So even though...
Unless you want the arsenic, but most of us have voted no for that.
Like
and
that.
Our doctors, particularly our retail commercial physicians, even say no.
Nice. Another disappointing outcome, a 21, which would have assessed $18 a year on people who own cars, did not pass. That was the parks funding initiative.
And which would have given us 24/7 open access to Yosemite, to go down to Santa Monica, to park at the beach free for the rest of your natural life until it gets repealed. You could go anywhere, anytime for that one $18 fee paid one time only. Perpetual open access would have paid for everything. The answer is no.
Yeah, that was no. And also yes on 22, which is another really creepy initiative. People were led to believe that 22 would just prevent the state from taking money from your local budget. Really what 22 was designed to do was protect government subsidies for big corporations, mainly big development corporations. So if the state has a catastrophic event like an earthquake or wildfires, the money stays with Westfield Mall if they're doing a development. There's no way to reassign that money to take care of people if there's a 7.2 earthquake in California. And people voted yes on that. It's really upsetting. But again, I don't blame the electorate for this. There were so many, which is piles of misinformation where people didn't really realize what they were voting on in a lot of these cases.
Well, one of the interesting things is if there is a recount in the Cooley-Harris case, we'll recount a lot of these ballots and we'll actually find out how accurate all of those
except for most of them were blowouts. It's really unsettling.
Well, you guys, we'll totally hit the clock. Thank you, Brad Friedman. You're here every Wednesday where we do Investigative Wednesdays, bradblog.com. Check it out. You're going to have more activity on there, more hits, more excitement, possibly glum with some good news as well.
No, not glum at all.
As you bring out.
And check out the Fox News canceled their phony voter fraud special coming up.
Another miracle.
Wow.
Mercy Malik, thank you so much. Gia, thank you, G. And David Bender, thank you for sitting there. We've been listening to you breathe. We love you, sir. You rock. I'll see you tonight at the Nightclub 11 at 8 p.m. tonight. The Nightclub 11, we're raising money for the Trevor Project to help teens not have to commit suicide because they're gay.
I'll be there.
All right, my friend. Thank you so much. We'll see you next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday from 3 to 4. Don't forget you can visit us anytime at GoHarrison.com.